I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Welcome back for another OG Show Live. Mr. Randall, how you doing?
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to The Reel Down.
Welcome back to another episode of Bass Fishing for News.
Hi, boys and girls. Welcome to, once again, Bass Kayak Adventures.
Brother, this is the final cast.
Another segment of Chasing the Tide, your saltwater connection on the Paladin.
Welcome market. Back, everyone. Another episode of Feather and Fur, your host, Brad.
Welcome back to the Mindset Podcast. I'm your host, Crystal.
Hey, welcome back to Off the Water.
Can you hear with Adventures of Outdoor Woman Podcast?
Hey guys, welcome to the Rusty Hook Kayak Fishing Podcast.
We're brought to you by Pelican Built Tough. For all situations, go to pelican.com. Eastport Marina on the beautiful shores of Dale Hollow Lake. For all your lodging, kayaking, go to eastport.info. Yak Gadget. For all your fine kayak fishing accessory needs, go to yakgadget.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Bass Fishing for Noobs here on the Paddle and Fin Podcast. I am your host tonight, Sean Lafferty, and I want to thank you guys all for tuning in to another episode of Bass Fishing for Noobs. Susie, my co-host, she had a bunch of events happening this weekend, so she is super busy. So she regretfully won't be able to join us tonight, but that's okay because I have one of the all-time greats of the Noob Show coming back and joining us again, Mr. Cody Jennings from Jig Masters. Cody, welcome back to the Noob Show. I think you're setting the record for return guests. You're stealing it away from Jody Queen, if you could believe that.
Yeah, I tell you what, I'm kind of shocked to hear that still. It's been a while. I know we've been trying to schedule this for several months. Unfortunately, life happens. But hey, thanks for sticking with and reaching back out and happy to be on.
No problem, man. I mean, you've always been a great supporter of the Noob Show, but of Paddle and Fin in general, too. So tons of thanks for that. And it's great to have you back, man. So for any of the guests who don't know, just wanted to do a quick intro of yourself. For the most part, I would guessing most people know you by now, or at least have a general idea of who you are. But
yeah, so for those who don't know me, my name's Cody Jennings, founder, owner, janitor, whatever you want to call it, of Jig Masters, which was kind of a passion project that I started in basically the beginning of 2017. And it's kind of just slowly exploded from there, you know. And, you know, one of the main things that I do is I, for the most part, you know, custom design various jigs. I'm starting to get more soft plastics, wire baits like spinner baits, buzz baits, but always the bread and butter of Jig Masters will be, you know, the flipping jig, pivot head, stuff like that. So yeah,
and that's exactly what I really wanted to talk to you tonight, because it's been a while since we've done a jig show, and unfortunately, and as most of the viewers know, I talk about it a lot. Jigs, for whatever reason, are my kryptonite, you know? And I always say, I like to show, you know, not for lack of owning them. I've definitely sampled many, many, many different kinds of jigs, but for whatever reason, and we'll talk about this a little bit, I just don't have confidence in them. And I think it's it's tough to say why. I have a ton of confidence in a net head, and I know before the show we were talking about this particular topic, and you were saying how that's kind of not something that you have as much confidence in, and whereas I would put down the jig to pick up a Ned knowing that I can get bit on the Ned, you're kind of the opposite, right?
Yeah. And, kind of what we were talking about before we, started playing here was all these different techniques, types of baits, all stuff, it all comes down to confidence. Basically kind of what I tell to everybody is, there is no magic lure. It comes down to what kind of fits your style, and then realistically what experiences you had on them. If you weren't really testing them out, sometimes you get lucky and say, hey, I've never thrown a net. You throw a net out, you catch a 4-pounder. Guess what? You get all the confidence in the world. You're going to learn that Ned pretty well because you're always going to have it tied on.
Right.
For me, I'm the opposite. My three bread and butters would be a flipping jig, a spinner bait, which I'm always throwing a 1/2-ounce Colorado Willow, and then like a swing head style jig. I feel like I could go to any body of water and I can do well with those three baits. And something we kind of were talking about too is one of the, if you're trying to expand on, techniques that you have confidence on, especially in the beginning, whether you're a new angler or just, a seasoned quote unquote vet that's been throwing the same two things for his whole life. One thing that I kind of recommend is anytime you want to try a new technique, whether it's jigs, crankbait, whatever it is, try to go to unpressured bodies of water, which I know is becoming harder and harder. but if you got access to like a private lake or a private quarry, like a farm pond or something like that, where maybe those fish are a little bit easier to catch. Yeah, they're easier there, but it's a great way to develop that confidence. Once again, you say, oh, hey, flipping jig, I remember setting the hook on some fish with it. That's already a big start period, but then also too, you can actually, even in those easier bodies of water, you can learn a lot about, how do the fish strike them? What techniques are they kind of striking more on? Is it, a real fast paced, hop on the bottom? Is it big hops, small hops, just kind of dragging it? Are you typically getting bit more like right in the thick stuff, or is it on the outsides? You just start kind of picking that stuff apart. And it's all towards building confidence with any new lure.
Gotcha. Yeah. I think that's definitely a good tip. And, it helps you just get a feel for, not only, like you said, what it feels like to get a bite, and you kind of pay attention to, what exactly you were doing when you got that bite and kind of expand from there, but also just what it feels like to drag it on the bottom, and also to bump it off a stump or, structure like that. It's just a good way to get feeling for it. So I wanted to ask, start off with I've heard one of the best things about jigs is there pretty much isn't a time where they won't work, whereas you'll hear some things are more of a fall bait or a spring bait or a heat of the summer bait, but they're, the jig is one thing that they kind of say is kind of a universal year round, you can throw it and it should catch fish. Is that generally your feeling as well? Or what's your thoughts there?
Yeah. So with jigs, now the one downside is people say, oh, they're versatile. Well, that's because there's also several different types. You got flipping jigs, football jigs, swim jigs, hair jigs, finesse jigs, swing heads, there's a bunch of different types there. It's a kind of a blanket category. But even then, I feel like I could take a flipping or football jig, which would be your two most standard jigs when people say jig. For example, there's the football, it's got a full skirt on it, Traditionally, you're going to throw like some form of kind of crawl style trailer. Same thing with flipping. You know, typically get a little bit more pointed style head. And that's to be able to kind of come through, you know, cracks in the lay down trees and stuff like that. And even shed grass a little bit easier. But yeah, you know, I think that you could fish jigs all year round and catch fish. You're just going to be fishing, you know, different depths, different structures. You know, that all kind of changes with the seasons, but for the most part, you know, you can keep a flipping jig and a football jig tied on and do some damage.
Okay. Well, I think that's a good place to start then. If we take each kind of jig and break down what its specialty is, starting with flipping, that's pretty easy. I mean, that's going to be your close quarters, making just flip casts, and it's designed right to work well around cover or like your, you know, places you wouldn't throw something else because it might not come through it as easy, right?
Yeah. So flipping jigs, they really get their, you know, main usage case is going to be with like fishing a lot of timber, you know, think timber, think like gnarly, more wooden docks, stuff like that. Brush piles, stuff like that. Like that is kind of where they shine the most. Is, you know, hey, you're in that kind of, not only, but, you know, most of the time you're in that, you know, 5 foot or less of water typical scenario when you're using them the most. And, you know, most of the time you're almost using them to cover water more. You know, if you're going down a bank and it's a whole bunch of, you know, do nothing sand bank and stuff, and all of a sudden you see a, you know, a nice brush pile hanging in the water, whatever, and it can even, you know, be off the bank too. You know, hey, you take a flipping jig, you know, work the middle, work each side, you know, and typically when you're pitching it in there, it's not something that, for the most part, I mean, they do slow down in the summer, stuff like that, but normally it's pitch it, hop, hop, reel, hop, hop, get it out of there, repitch it. You know, it is a little bit more of a fast paced style jig compared to, you know, doing like deep water fishing and ledge fishing and stuff with like football jigs.
Interesting. No, and that makes sense. When you think of covering water baits, I don't know that I would have put the jig up there, but that makes sense because of the fact that you're not soaking it long for long periods of time. Like you're pretty much checking, you know, I guess. And then we did a episode on punching a little bit ago, and I guess it's kind of similar to that. You with punching, we were talking about, you drop it through there, bounce it twice. If nothing bites, then there's probably nothing there. Or
yeah, jigs, flipping jigs in specific, they are a lot more of a reaction bait than people think. You know, normally you think reaction bait, it's spinner bait, crank bait, jerk bait, that kind of style stuff, more swimming stuff.
Right. Moving baits, but really,
yeah, you know, but a flipping jig in specific, it's actually a lot more of a reaction strike bait. You know, you're not traditionally, not saying it never works, obviously, you know, there's you got anomalies everywhere, but, you know, you're fishing in a relatively fast pace. You know, you might pitch at, instead of just pitching into a small lay down or something and, you know, chucking it in there and then twiddling your thumbs for 30 seconds and say, oh, nothing bit it, reel it back in. In that 30 seconds, you might throw 6 to 8 casts at that same laydown, just working different parts.
Making different, slightly different presentations, seeing if any slightly different presentation will get that fish to actually bite, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Cool. All right. Well, that's the flipping jig. Then next, we'll have the football head jig. What's that specialty for? I know the football head is supposedly good for not getting wedged in rocks. But
yeah, and once again, these are all kind of more statistical things. You know, you can lose a bait in anything, right? So
true enough. And I am. Yep.
Yeah, but yeah, traditionally football jigs are meant, not exclusively, but more meant for like dragging kind of techniques. You know, I mean, if I'm fishing shallow rock and stuff like riprap banks and stuff like that, most of the time I'm still actually throwing a flipping jig. Now, once you back out into kind of those little deeper, you know, 10 foot, 15 foot, 20 foot, and beyond. You know, gravel slash sand flats or rock piles in specific. That's when I'll, you know, most of the time I'll be using a football jig. And for the most part, it's real, real subtle hops, and you're more dragging it along the bottom than you are, you know, necessarily hopping it too much.
Okay.
Now, that all being said, there is a popular technique out there. It looks ridiculous to do. Does it work? Yes. Do you feel smart or intelligent while trying it for the first time? Definitely not. And it's called stroking jigs.
I was going to ask you about it.
You know, and stuff. And that really got famous on like ledge fishing, you know, and kind of like your Kentucky lakes and stuff like that, where they have a bunch of stair step ledges that are mainly rock and stuff, where you see it actually works well. Like I've done it a lot in quarries and stuff. And, you know, basically, literally, it's, you know, you let the bait sink to the bottom, bounce it, bounce it, bounce it. Once you either get to where you know, depending on how good you are with electronics, that you're at the end of the ledge, or if you just start feeling that bait drop again, you know, used to it only sink for half a second, now it's sinking for 2 seconds and still going, you know, then you'll rip the rod straight up and you might move that bait, you know, 6-7, you know, feet on one big, big hop. That also is very popular if you get into like brim beds, you know, which for the most part is a little bit more southern state kind of thing. But, you know, you get these big pods of beds and there's, you know, sunfish, brim, bluegills, whatever. A lot of times kind of fishing those areas, if you actually stroke a jig or whatever, it kind of triggers, once again, that reaction strike. Because most of the time there are bass nearby. They might just kind of be sitting, you know, out waiting for something to kind of, quote unquote, leave the nesting area. You know, and a lot of times if you do that big stroke or whatever, it signals like, hey, we, you know, we got somebody going rogue, and they attack it.
Gotcha. Gotcha. I was going to ask about what that is simulating, because I've heard that term a lot, stroking a jig, and I was curious kind of what you're shooting for there. Like, that's definitely seems like it's a reaction strike, right? Because anytime you have that big of a movement, that's what you're going for. And that kind of, when I think of, you know, football jig fishing, you know, I don't know if you've heard anybody say it, but, you know, if you think you're moving it slow enough, slow down, you know, that kind of thing.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Right. Yeah.
So, and that kind of stroking a jig is almost the exact opposite of that. You're getting big movements fast. And, but yeah. I've seen videos on it. I haven't really experimented with too much with it, but, that might be something I have to try because, I'm curious, like what kind of, I'm thinking you probably have to have a little bit different of a setup there. You're definitely throwing that on something heavier, right? So that you can really move it.
Yeah, I mean, typically me, now I'm a little bit partial to a little bit heavier action rods to begin with. But most of the time, yeah, you're going to want something, you know, in that about 7.5 foot rod length, and a little bit heavier tip as well. At least I do personally. And the big benefit that I like from a heavier tipped rod in that kind of scenario is it helps me imagine very well, like how far I moved that bait. You know, I can do a 3 foot, 4 foot, 5 foot, you know, if you don't have that much of a, you know, parabolic taper, the rod, every time you move that jig, you kind of got a good reference for how far you're actually moving it or lifting it off the bottom.
Gotcha. Then, yeah, there's no real guessing because you know the amount that your rod is moving is what's the jig is doing the same thing, right?
Correct. Yep.
And where do your hits come on that? Is it more on the fall back down or are they hitting it on the way up or what's your experience there?
That my experience personally is it's more on the way up.
Gotcha.
It's typically kind of like halfway up that lift. As you're trying to lift it, you feel the rod load. Okay. That has been the most case that I felt it. Now, there are times, too, where it's literally just where it starts descending from its apex. You know, the jig gets to its high, almost kind of stops almost. And as soon as it starts that fall again, that's when they'll hit. That okay. change of direction, per se.
Gotcha. And do you – I know we talked – you mentioned, like, a crawl trailer on or something with appendages with your flipping bait. What kind of bait are you talking about when you're doing that kind of thing? Trailer, rather?
Yeah, I mean, me personally, I still will traditionally use like a crawl style. Once again, that's kind of just more of a confidence thing than anything. Mm-hmm. But I will kind of focus on a lot of times more of the proverbial match the hatch kind of scenario. You know, if you're in a lake of like, once again, Kentucky Lake, where it's a lot of shad, I'm actually going to try that more of with like a, you know, grayish white, you know, some form of blue hue, whatever kind of skirt, and trailer, compared to if it is brim, you know, then I am going to start using kind of more like mixing up like green pumpkins with black and blues and stuff like that, more of your traditional jig color. Right. Those kind of scenarios I've always seemed to do a little bit better with kind of matching the forage.
Okay. No, that makes a lot of sense. So that kind of we've knocked out two. We've done a flipping jig and we've done football head jig. Let's see. I know swing head is another one that you had on your list there. And the ones that you sell are skirtless. Is that correct?
Yeah. So I actually have both and it's a football style right. head. I have a skirted version and I have a, you know, non-skirted, you know, so the non-skirted, you know, there's a chigger crawl trailer on there, but you know, it's just once again, it's a football head that can move around like crazy. Me personally, I use the non-skirted the most. Not that the skirted don't have the place, but for me, what I'm normally getting out of, you know, I'm already kind of getting out of a football jig and stuff. Right. The swing heads, I use them a lot. It's a nice thing. Like if I'm a little bit unfamiliar with a body of water, I will use that between that and like a spinner bait, something like that. I'll actually go to that first as kind of my main search bait because you can still flip it into brush, stuff like that. And for the most part, it typically comes through pretty well. It works very, very well in rock and riprap, better than probably the football by itself, just because that hook kind of just deflects out of the way, you know. So if your head hits a abrupt rock or something, it's normally kicking your bait out to the side versus just pulling right into the snag and gotcha. Stuff. And a lot of times, if you do snag it, you can typically pretty easily, you know, do the old stretch and load the rod and let go of the tension. You throw the rod basically back at the bait kind of look. Because what happens is, okay, I'm stuck. My head's here. I let go of that tension. It goes right back down the body of the hook. So a lot of times that head will actually knock the bait out for you.
Gotcha.
Then you'd obviously start reeling again. But the main benefit there is it's awesome for covering, you know, those kind of, you can fish them deeper, but kind of like medium level banks, shallow to, you know, say anywhere from, you know, 2 feet to 10 feet, you can cover a lot of water there. You're almost going to, the feel is almost more of like fishing a slow crankbait that's banging along the bottom.
Okay.
You know, most of the time I typically will kind of have my rod tip slightly angled down. Not pointing obviously at the water, but you know, just kind of off to the side. And for the most part, the bait and the trailer are creating all the action. You're not doing too much popping and stuff like that. You're just keeping a real, you know, decent, slow, steady retrieve on it and just letting that bait crash through everything along the bottom. Once again, your strikes are kind of more reaction based. But like I said, it's honestly for me, it's a very versatile lure that has caught me a lot of fish, even on bodies of water that, you know, I might be showing up to for the first time.
Okay. No, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. And one of the things with them where I see people probably not using them optimally, at least in my opinion, is most people still try to throw pretty light weights. Where with a swing head, I actually want something pretty heavy. I mean, most of the time I'm going back and forth between 1/2 ounce and 3/4.
Okay.
You know, if I'm fishing, kind of closer in that 8 to 10 foot range, stuff like that, and I know I'm mainly going to be fishing that a lot of times, I'll start with a 3/4.
Okay.
Because it's not a bait that you're pitching and relying on, you know, a fall rate. You know, once it's on the bottom, it's essentially on the bottom. You know, so the heavier you go, within reason, you know, the easier it is to maintain that contact.
Gotcha.
You know, and that's why I like going a little bit heavier than maybe I would in that same body of water with a football jig or flipping jig, stuff like that.
Yeah, and I guess that makes more sense too. If you're doing a slow, steady retrieve, you're not imparting a ton of action through your rod tip or anything. That way, you know, with a lighter bait, yeah, that will tend to want to come up off the bottom or,
right.
You know, so that makes sense to go through. And that was another topic I wanted to talk about some point tonight was how you go about selecting weights on the heads of your jigs. And is it mostly basically how much bottom contact you want to get, or are you looking at the depth of water?
Yeah. So for me, like I said, pivot heads, no matter what scenario, I am typically going to somewhere between 1/2 ounce and 3/4. You know, like I said, that is way more about castability. You know, once again, I'm trying to cover water. So obviously the heavier years, for the most part, within reason, as long as you got a rod that can do it, you can heave them out pretty far.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but that the weight is a lot more castability / just bottom contact. When I get into flipping and football jigs, I am paying attention more to fall rate. You know, because that is one very popular time to get hit on a jig is actually just on the initial fall. You know, whether it's a pitch or whether you're throwing footballs out in deep water, whatever. A lot of times that fall rate is something to really key in on. And for the most part, you know, if I'm fishing, you know, if I'm fishing 4 feet or less, you know, most of the time I'll probably have a 3/8 on, you know, and before, if I'm not getting bit on say a 3/8 jig there, flipping jig, before I will really say, hey, they're not hitting jigs, start throwing swing heads or start throwing spinner baits or crank baits, whatever, I will first make a move to a heavier jig and see if that faster fall rate will, you know, kind of start triggering some reaction strikes.
Gotcha.
For the most part, you know, springtime, they're not near as picky traditionally. Summertime, I've actually had more success in the flipping scenario. I've had more success with heavier. And then a lot of times fall will be heavy up until you basically get into your early winter style fishing. And then traditionally you are going to go the other way and start from a weight perspective, start dialing it, not necessarily an actual size, you know, because whether this jig is a 3/8 ounce or a 1/2 ounce or even 3/4, the actual profile of the bait is not that different. You know, to the fish's eye, it still looks like the same amount of bulk coming through the water.
Right.
You know, so a lot of times in those winter scenarios, stuff like that, whatever fish are still somewhat shallow, you know, 10 feet or less, a lot of times I will have to back off and go to like 1/4 ounce even, you know, stuff like that.
Okay. And I know that kind of leads us into another type of jig that I wanted to talk about, and that was your finesse jigs. And I do have one of those here too. I had another one, and it must be tied onto one of my rods somewhere because I could not find it. But gotcha. And I know, so this one is the one I had in my box. What's your application for these guys?
So finesse jig I use in the same scenarios that I would a flipping jig.
Okay.
Now where I like that, my specific finesse jig, because it basically is kind of a modified flipping head, is it's a little bit more weedless, you know, by doing like an EWG style versus having like a weed guard on it.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times, like, you know, it's once again, if you start getting those areas, I throw them a lot in the winter, or even early spring when those fish are a little bit more, you know, a little more finicky, but also a little bit more like skittish. You know, you're trying to not make big crashing noises and stuff like that. A lot of times I'll go to that finesse jig. Now, the nice thing is with the finesse jig is, you know, normally you're putting a little bit smaller trailer on it. You know, for example, me personally, most of the time with a flipping jig, I'm going to have a 4-inch trigger crawl on it. Where, you know, with the finesse jig, I'll step down to like a 3-inch trigger crawl. Well, even the profile in those two baits, if you put them side by side, is significantly different. You know, the claws are a little bit smaller, but the body of it itself, you know, the bulk of the bait is actually substantially smaller.
Yeah.
And once again, you know, so a lot of times those finesse jigs when, you know, can, you know, those finesse jigs kind of when the bite either gets tough and I still want to kind of try to force feed a jig going, or if I'm in a scenario where those fish are really skittish, is most of the time when I will go to those.
The thing I kind of like about them, is just that, I don't always have a lot of heavy rods with me, and I feel like I can throw that on a little bit of a lighter setup too.
Yeah, you can, to me with just the finesse jig, you actually want something a little bit lighter. I mean, trust me, I've thrown them on 7.5-foot heavy action rods, and do okay. But that's actually one of the few skirted jigs that I prefer on like a medium action.
Gotcha.
You know, I feel like I can get a little bit more control, get in a little bit tighter quarters with them as well. But yeah, I really feel like I have a lot better control and sensitivity, you know, obviously stepping down to that kind of medium action. And even some of the medium heavies of today are a little bit on the lighter end compared to, you know, a 30-year-old medium heavy. So,
those vary from, you know, rod maker to rod maker too. But in general, I can see where going a little bit lighter on those little guys would definitely pay, or that would help me anyway. So, all right. So, how about swim jigs? I know you have a swing head swim jig that you do, and I know I have one here. I'm not even sure where I got this from, but usually the heads are a little bit different on these. They're more pointed. I'm thinking designed for moving.
Yeah, so hopefully I've been teasing it for a really long time. I apologize to everybody. My actual fixed hook, you know, non-swinging style swim jig will kind of more of a finesse swim jig will be coming out here this week. The swim jig profile, yeah, I mean, it's exactly made for what it says. It's more made for swimming. So a lot of times, like, which obviously you can fish them around anything, but kind of where they were originally designed was kind of more like fishing grass lines almost, or kind of steering through weeds and stuff like that. And that's kind of where you get more of a quote unquote shad head, typically is the, you know, the main head style on those. And it's kind of like they said, the original intent of them was to design a jig that I can throw a relatively lightweight and still cast a freaking mile. And that's going to get you all back towards your shad / bullet kind of style looking heads. You know, there's a lot less drag on one of those than there's a big wide football. You know, so that's another part of the reason of the head design as well as castability.
Okay.
But yeah, a lot of times the original intent of those was basically kind of slow rolling stuff through grass lines, stuff like that, where normally you couldn't fish any form of, you know, obviously punch rigs exist now, you know, but where you couldn't really fish any sort of like medium thick vegetation with a skirted style bait.
Gotcha. I know through all your head designs and stuff, you always like to take what was out there and make it your own, or make it, you know, these subtle improvements, which I think is what draws people to your jigs a lot, is because of the amount of time and energy you put into your head designs. And I was curious what kind of things you did with the swim jig design, if anything, to kind of tweak that at all.
Yeah. So one thing is always any form of swimming style bait, I do try to make it kind of more keel weighted. You know, I want the main bulk of that lead to kind of be on the bottom side of the head. That way when it's falling, it falls kind of straight down. But also that it doesn't roll on you if you try to fish it fast.
Mm-hmm.
And that there's a lot of heads out there that might be a little bit too blunt across the face and stuff. So a lot of times, like, oh, hey, if you're fishing a slow retrieve, great, tracks fine, no problem. But if you like to play around and you like to try to burn them and stuff like that, a lot of times they'll start rolling on you.
Gotcha.
And in my experience, most of the time, a bait running on its side typically means in a missed fish.
No, true enough.
Yeah, it seems to be considerably harder to get a hook in them when they're kind of laying on their side through the water than it is, you know, when you got the hook point kind of up.
Gotcha. So I'm guessing that they probably, I know, I love your sledhead swim jigs, swim jig heads for like swim baits and stuff. Is that kind of more the idea that those look like? I'm guessing.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. It's basically a modified version of that. Okay. With that head design period, I've had a lot of success with. So if you kind of look like, I mean, even my spinner baits, underspin, stuff like that, they kind of all form around that sled head design. You know, that's, but yeah, it's a little bit of a shallowed out version of that to be able to fit a weed guard in. But yeah, for the main design principles are the same.
Gotcha. And I know you had mentioned to me before the show that those are coming very soon, and you know, super looking forward to that. So definitely, we'll be happy to. I'll definitely pick some up so I can share them on here when we get them, and we'll get that word out there, and hopefully get everybody falling in love with those too as well. So.
Yeah, I appreciate it. And then one last thing on the swim jigs that I did forget to mention is a big reason they became popular is you could essentially fish them like a spinnerbait in the same areas that you would probably fish a spinnerbait, but they're a lot more subtle. And, you know, for the longest time, the spinnerbait was the most common bait thrown by any angler. You know, it's a very easy bait to throw for the most part. You know, it's cast and retrieve, you know, and for a long time they worked really, really good. Then they obviously, after they became too popular, there was a little bit of a lull there, which I always thank the chatterbait for bringing the spinnerbait bite back.
Right.
So thanks Z-Man on that one. But the swim jigs, you could basically, a lot of times where you would fish a spinnerbait, you know, on a high pressured body of water, a lot of times you'll do actually better ending up lending over towards like a swim jig. You know, it's a lot more subtle presentation, but it's a similar bulk profile. You know, you get that full skirt, you got the swim bait kind of sticking out. You know, it's like I said, a lot of places where I throw spinner baits a lot, if that spinner bait's not working, but I'm still kind of targeting more of a reaction strike, or it's just a shad based lake, stuff like that, I will go to the swim jig.
Gotcha. So it's basically the spinnerbait without the thump from the blades, I'm guessing.
Exactly. Yep.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And then you already mentioned it, but you're going to go with more of a swim bait kind of trailer on those, obviously, because you want something moving. I guess crawls would still work. because yeah, you're so get some flap, but
so a lot of anglers, a lot of pros, all that stuff. A lot of times they actually seem to end up with more of a swimming like a crawl style trailer, you know, like a Rage crawl or, you know, even the Chigger crawl would work, but like a Rage bug or you know, basically there's a crawl style that has a lot of action.
Gotcha.
A lot of times I've seen people even throw like, you know, grubs, you know, twister tail kind of style.
Oh yeah.
Me personally, once again, could simply be a confidence thing. I myself always prefer swim bait, you know, and stuff. Now, I will say something I do more with swim jigs than I would say flipping or football is a lot of times I'll actually even throw like contrast trailers, you know. So, you know, maybe I'll throw almost like a candy crawl style, you know, skirt color. And then I'll pair it, or even like my summer crawl 2.0, where it's got a little bit of like almost like a chartreusey green pumpkin built into it. Mm-hmm. And I might throw that with say a black and blue swim bait.
Trailing, yeah.
You know, I will throw a little bit more of a contrast. Not all the time, but a lot of times I'll throw a little bit more of a contrast trailer. Where me personally, with flipping and football jigs, I'm normally just matching my trailer with the skirt.
Gotcha. And I know one of the things I know, like Tactical Bassin talked about, if you do put a crawl trailer on the back, I know they talk about it with chatterbaits and stuff, but I'm sure they probably work with swim baits, is they put it on sideways so that you have kind of the two crawls, instead of being flat, they're this way and they kind of
right.
You know, swim a little bit that way too. So if you have a crawl trailer and that's all you have, it should still work because you're still going to get a swimming action out of it.
Yes. Yep.
Cool. All right. What are some of the other ones that you have there in front of you? I know you had a few more than I did. Hair jigs was one.
So really the kind of last one that's still, when I hear jigs, that falls in the jig category for me is, you know, let me try to get this thing maintained here. you know, a hair jig. Me personally, so there's several different types of hair. Mine are all marabou, and personally, marabou to me and from my experience is way more of a smallmouth bait than it is largemouth. That being said, they do make hair jigs that are kind of the opposite, and a lot of times those are more like bucktail styled hair, stuff like that, that gets used for those. Okay. Once again, those are really popular in like shad lakes. You know, they'll throw these big white, you know, kind of bucktail hair jigs that might be 6-7 inches long. where a lot of times smallmouth, it's a lot more of a compact presentation. But the nice thing is if you ever get a chance to watch marabou, is, you know, when I pick this thing out of the water after the first time of casting it, it looks like nothing. Yeah, it looks like a freaking drowned cat, right? You know, or drenched cat. And you know, so this thing, I'm like, it's so tight to the hook. Like the bait looks maybe a freaking eighth of the size of that at what it was. And it's all mad and all that stuff. But when you get it back in the water, if you let it sit there, even with the babiest of current or water movement, that hair will just kind of do this.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to drive smallmouth nuts. You know, and I've fished them like for bed fishing for smallmouth. A lot of times I've done it to where I just cast them, you know, I might go to a little bit heavier one if I do, you know, I might cast them and almost kind of do like almost like a yo-yo technique where it's like a slow retrieve. And then, you know, once you might retrieve it 5-6 feet, let it kind of fall back a little bit, retrieve it 5-6 feet, let it fall. You know, I've done a kind of a various different techniques with them. And some people just cast them out, let them get to the bottom, and just do a real boring, slow retrieve back. You know, there's kind of a multiple ways to fish it. The biggest thing I've noticed is 90%, not even 90%, that's unfair, but like 50% of your kind of choice on a hair jig is one color, two fall rate. Because those fit like up in northern Wisconsin, where I typically try to, you know, make it up to once a year, stuff like that, those fish like those things so stinking slow, it's unreal. And that's actually where kind of my head design came from, was, you know, we're trying to cast these 16-ounce hair jigs in the wind. It's really hard to do, even if that marabou is wet. You know, so basically I opted to a heavier head, 1/8 ounce, 1/4 ounce, but I add in more bulk to it with adding more marabou than the standard one on the market might be. But also too, with giving it more of a flat head, so it creates more drag on the fall and stuff. So it gives you the castability of a heavier head, but you get the fall rate of the lighter one. And that helps a lot, especially in winding conditions, stuff like that. You know, just makes it, anytime I can, even if I'm bed fishing and, hey, I can get this thing from 20 feet away to them instead of 6, you know, that, yep, that can make a huge difference for you.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Especially in bed fishing. Yeah.
Now when you get into the Great Lakes, especially more like Lake Erie, heavier the better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at hair jigs, it seems like you like, if you're not throwing a 1/2 ounce, which I'm hoping to actually add to my lineup in the near future here, you're kind of wasting your time. I mean, most of the anglers out there that are doing well in hair jigs is 3/8 to 1/2 ounce, where most anglers in northern Wisconsin, unless they know about mine, they won't have anything over an 1/8 ounce.
Mm-hmm.
You know, same fish, right? Smallmouth, but they act totally different with them.
Right. No, and that's definitely one thing that I've noticed for sure. Just in my, I kind of totally go hair jig when it gets so cold that I'm wearing my dry suit and stuff. That's one of the things I pretty much staple of my winter fishing is hair jigs. Well, for smallmouth on the river anyway, because out of all the baits that I've tried in cold water, that is one of the few that is very reliable. And it might not be the most thrilling thing to fish ever, but
typically not.
But in the wintertime, sometimes, you know, it's not there isn't a great bite anyway. So if it works, I'm going to keep using it. And that is one thing that I've definitely found that is very effective. And I think for the exact reason that you stated, because when you're not doing anything, it's down there, still down there flowing and, you know, pulsing with the motion of the water. So,
yep. Yeah. It gives a nice subtle presentation. There's still some movement. It's not nothing. Like if you just pitched a beaver out there and then drowned it for an hour, you know, the beaver's not moving, right? You know, so, you know, where you still just get a little subtle, non-threatening kind of action out of it. In the wintertime, you know, that can help a lot.
No. And that's one of the few jigs, when you're talking jigs, that don't need a trailer, right? Because you don't really have to.
Introducing Batiste Sweat Activated and Touch Activated Dry Shampoo. With breakthrough technology that absorbs oil and releases bursts of fragrance whenever you sweat or touch your hair for up to 24 hours, it's the ultimate hair care for girls on the go. Try the newest dry shampoo that's activated by you. Batiste, the future of hair care is here. Buy Batiste dry shampoo online or in store at your nearest retailer.
With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy on, easy off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Put much on there, or do you?
Yeah, so I've seen some people, they might add like almost like a freaking, even like a Ned, you know, Ned worm, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. You know, stuff like that I've seen used. Me personally, I've always had the best luck of just leaving it be marabou only.
Mm-hmm.
And stuff. And once again, that's just kind of my personal preference, and out of the things I've tried, what seems to do the best for me. But I do know a lot of times people will put like very, very, very small stick bait style trailers on them occasionally.
Gotcha. And I know, I remember you talking before, the first time I think we had you on, where you talked about the hair jigs, is that you kind of double the marabou, or at least, you know, significantly add to the amount of marabou that your jigs have. And that helps with your fall rate, you said, and I'm sure just, you know, in general, like when, so even when it does look like a drowned rat, you're still going to have more kind of flowing there than other things.
Yeah, it helps with the fall rate and it helps with the bulk. You know, it gives them, and once again, I mean, that is a lot of marabou specific, a lot of hair jigs that you buy on the market. There is not much marabou there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of the big things, and I always say to everybody that can help you when in doubt, is literally throwing something a little bit different than the next guy. You know, can be the same type of bait. I mean, you know, we can get lost in the weeds with spinnerbait topics, even flipping jigs, stuff like that. You know, just something a little different. And, you know, hey, I know they love marabou, but maybe they don't love the same 10,000 marabou jigs they've seen. You know, maybe they want to see something slightly altered.
Right, right. One other thing I wanted to ask you that's kind of along the same lines there is the rubber skirts that you sell. I know one of the advantages of that is I was reading that it doesn't, it kind of repels kind of grass and stuff when you're kind of going through some of that thicker, weedier stuff, right? It doesn't, grass or stuff doesn't tend to stick to it as much. Is that?
Yeah. So that's one benefit, which I do offer them too, like in the punch rig and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I will say that's definitely one benefit is they are a lot less sticky than a lot of your heavily colored silicone skirting. Another big benefit to round rubber is kind of similar effect to like the marabou, is that stuff moves so easy. You know, if you take a bait, if you ever get a chance to do like a, almost like just a dunk tank kind of stuff and look between a round rubber half ounce jig and a half ounce standard jig, like those skirts, even though they're still, you know, somewhat similar material, those skirts move incredibly different. You know, where the round rubber is gonna, as soon as that bait stops, you know, you get some on a silicone skirted jig that'll, you know, flare out a little bit. A round rubber, that thing goes, you know, like it flares, and just basically it flares wide open, and then you get to see straight access to your trailer and stuff. And that is kind of one of the benefits to them. Now, one of the downsides to them, there are not many colors available. You know, so if you are a person that gets really honed in on, hey, I want, you know, 50 strands of green pumpkin, I want 5 strands of nice blue and a little bit of black in there, yeah, you're not going to be able to get those perfectly with round rubber.
Well, I was, even with that said, though, I was looking through your colors for that, and there are a few of blended ones that look pretty good to me. You know, that, I mean, a lot of times when you see the round rubber stuff, it's pretty much just straight one color,
right?
And not a lot of, but you have a couple that are mixtures, right?
Yeah, so like the green and brown, which is kind of like a natural crawl kind of thing.
Yep.
And then I do like a black and blue. To give you the staple jig color of all time, black and blue, and then brown and orange, stuff like that. So, yeah, and I got PB&J as well. So, yeah, I try to do a little bit more than a lot of them on the market. Like you said, most of the time they are just a flat color, flat black probably being the most popular even out of all of them. But, yeah.
Okay. We're getting towards an hour here. So a couple of the last things I wanted to talk about were one, jig modifications. Do you do a lot of trimming of either your weed guard or your skirt material?
So I personally, with how I have my jigs made, stuff like that, I personally do not trim weed guards.
Okay.
Now I know a lot of people do. But yeah, I traditionally do not. You know, basically how you guys get them is, for the most part, from a weed guard perspective, that's how I throw them. Okay. Now, where I spend a lot of time potentially is like skirt trimming. So for the most part, I try to keep my skirts a little bit longer than a lot of them that you might buy on the market. Nothing extreme, you know, but there might be another quarter to a half inch of skirting material. And really that's just to let anybody modify them. you know, obviously if the material's not there, you can't cut it, right? So so I do that just to give a little bit more angler preference. You know, they can trim them to whatever they want. To me, like, I try for some reason with a flipping or football jig, I'm always about a half inch below the hook. There's a lot of people that like it cut basically even flush with the hook.
Yeah, and I've heard that before.
And then so somewhere in between.
Yeah.
You know, stuff. Me personally, I like a little bit longer. Once again, a lot of that's just because that's a little less common than probably most of the jigs that they see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I've heard all sorts of weird things about cutting it on an angle, you know, away, and, you know, so many different people have so many, as with everything, you know, there's, you know, personal preferences for tons of that stuff. But yeah, and I've heard, you know, lots of different, like, cut it even with the hook versus, you know, oh, well, it's fine longer. But that makes a lot of sense, that if the common thing that you hear is cut it even with the hook, to make it a little bit different, to have it, you know, just a little bit longer, you know, again, following along with what you were saying about that subtle difference from everything else that they see, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. And most of the time when they're talking about, like, with the weed guard per se of, you know, kind of cutting it, most of the time what you'll commonly see is they recommend basically, you know, you take this jig, you set your scissors up against this hook, and then you cut, you know, so you just get right up and go. So you got a really, really small weed guard. The downside of that is it kind of bypasses the point of the weed guard, which, worst of all, weed guard's a terrible name. Brush guard is a better idea. you know, but yeah, I mean, I personally like to have that full weed guard on there. I do feel like it helps the jig come through cover and stuff better for me. Mm-hmm. My argument's always been, hey, if you're struggling on the hook set with them, swing harder. you know? you know, and I even a lot of times fish with a stiff weed guard and stuff. I really care more about getting that bait to where the fish are. I'll figure out how to hook it up after.
Gotcha.
Where, you know, if you are in kind of your, I mean, medium stiff's not too bad, but if you're doing the real, real soft weed guards, to me, it might as well not even be there.
Right,
you know, it's gonna let you get that hook right to a piece of timber or whatever, and you're going to be snagged.
Yep, no, that makes a lot of sense, and that is one of the reasons why I do not trim the weed guard at all as well, because my whole confidence thing with those baits, if anything, is that they do come through dang near everything for the most part, you know,
right,
pretty reliably, and that was one of the things that was hardest for me to get used to right off the bat. Cause I was like, I went fishing with a buddy and he's just chucking right in the middle of like the brushiest looking stuff. And I was like, I'm never getting my, if I throw in there, I'm never getting that back out.
Yeah. Right. And then that's the beautiful thing, especially with like a flipping jig style. And something I spend a lot of time on with is how gnarly a cover can I find near my area? And I basically try to design a jig to come through that. And I went through several iterations to kind of end up on the more triangulated boxy design that I did. Yeah. But yeah, probably after five or six revs, that was the one that by far tested the best. And, that's how the flipping jig came about.
Cool. All right. Well, if this was Jig 101, is there anything else you think, the listeners should know, off the top of your head?
Yeah. So, I mean, once again, the biggest thing is just give them a chance, and make sure that within reason, you're trying to throw them on like the recommended tackle, you know, don't go out and throw a half inch jig on a medium light spinning rod and say, hey, I never could get a hook in it. Well, yeah, you got to come through a weed guard, stuff like that. That's a lot to ask for that spinning rod. You know, me personally, I'm normally throwing medium heavy or heavy action rod, 20 pound fluorocarbon. That way too, when you hook them, the fish actually moves out of the cover. Mm-hmm. That's another big reason too, that you'll get your heart broke on a spinning rod. If you are fishing that heavier cover, that hook set, the objective of that should be to move that fish out of that cover. You want that initial pull to get him out from the stuff that's going to break your line. You know, so that's another reason too that I say, hey, try to use the within reason, you know, adequate tackle. I mean, like, don't, if you have a medium heavy rod, yeah, don't worry about going to buy a whole bunch of heavy action rods just to try to fish jigs. You're fine. You know, I typically am always throwing about 20 pound fluoro and stuff. But yeah, like I said, the biggest thing really is just try several different techniques, try several different cadences and stuff on your hops and stuff. Try when you get to a brush pile, don't just make one pitch. You know, if you're at a big lay down tree, you know, throw one in the crotch. If there's a crotch or V in the tree, throw one there, throw one up at the bank, throw one out more out near where your main falls out at the end of it. Left side, right side, you know, try to pick apart some of those, whether it's lay downs, docks, you know, even riprap banks, you know, you start seeing some like the concrete slab stuff on the water, you know, throw more in the cracks, throw more right on the face of them, you know, right side, left side, you know, give yourself an adequate chance, you know, and like I said, if you really just pick apart targets, that's mainly what, especially like flipping jigs were for, you know, even pivot heads, stuff like that, you know, pick apart those targets. And a lot of times you'll finally just start developing confidence. You know, I don't know why specifically it seems that way. And that's kind of with all pitching, you know, whether it's, you know, just a Texas rig or jig, but you see it all the time. Heck, the first time I met Paddle and Finn, I saw it. I was fishing behind somebody and they're just one cast at a tree. Oh, nothing. Next tree, next tree, next tree. And instead of me fishing the full cast and, you know, taking a minute per cast, you know, I might have thrown four or five casts within 30 seconds, 40 seconds. And I was picking up fish behind him, you know, and it's, you know, it's just, like I said, just give yourself a chance. If you can find, you know, less pressured bodies of water, like I said, that's huge. I mean, anything that I try, I mean, when I first started trying drop shot fishing, because I just had no confidence with it, you know, whether it's Neds, tubes, you know, spinner baits, crank baits, anything, go to an easy body of water. You'll be amazed at how quick you can develop confidence.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Awesome. I definitely think that's a good idea. So again, thanks for sharing. Well, now we're pretty much at an hour, so I wanted to give you a chance. I know you talked about the swim jig coming soon. Do you have anything else that's coming that you wanted to highlight, or any?
Yeah.
News
so,
or
yeah. So, same time. Once again, I've been a little bit behind here, teasing this stuff several times, but after everybody has bugged me to do it, I do have an EWG Ned coming out.
Yes.
and I do have an EWG swim bait sled coming out as well.
Okay.
To hopefully start being able to use that swim bait sled and maybe a little bit more grassier covers and stuff like that.
Now that is something that I don't know that I've seen much of at all. So that's very intriguing to me.
Yep. Yeah. So and I think a big benefit there too is it'll kind of, because it is a little bit of a bigger hook. You know, I think a lot of times, I think it's going to take a lot of the swim baits you throw. And if you really love a swim bait head, the sled, you know, that I make, you get to throw it, but now you get to throw it on a casting rod through grass even.
Gotcha.
And I think it'll do pretty well.
Okay, cool. No, that's definitely something I'm looking forward to then for sure. The EWG net head for sure. Cause that is one thing that I definitely will not do on the river without now. Once I started using EWG heads on my Neds in the river, I get snagged way, way less. It's kind of, I actually hated fishing the Ned rig on the river because of snags.
Right.
I was like, I just felt like I was throwing my money away because it just happens so much. And then when I first started using I started rigging them, kind of weedless, trying to rig it on a weird angle, you know,
right.
And it worked, but it definitely wasn't, it didn't look pretty at all. And I felt like I lost bites because it looked kind of stupid in it. It would twirl right on the way down and stuff. So, you know, when I first started using EWGs, that's when I fell in love with the Ned Rig on the River for sure. So,
yeah. And, the hook, I spent a lot of time on the hook choice. I mean, the Ned head's a Ned head, you know, the shape of it's not too different between brands and stuff. But I spent a lot of time with this EWG and really dialing in a hook that has a nice big, basically, instead of your standard, you know, shape where it just goes straight up, you know, once you going into the head, there's actually a big V, and that V really helps keep that trailer in place.
Cool. No, because that is one of the problems with those, is that you have the head slide down or the bait slide down on them a lot. So
yeah, you actually, to get the bait through, you actually have to squeeze it before the tip of that, basically where that V is in the head, you actually kind of have to pinch it through down there. So it kind of creates a really nice trailer keeper.
Nice. Well, awesome. I'm looking forward to that too. So guys, definitely keep your eyes open on Jigmaster's page. And Cody, when they come out, just give me a heads up and we'll share it on Paddle and Fin too. So, you know, the listeners can go check them out.
Yeah. Yep. Much appreciated. And yeah, I'll definitely let you guys know. And then too, like I always tell everybody, if you have any questions, don't be afraid to reach out. You know, just go to the contact page, file the email, whether it's just jig selections for your cover, or trying to dial in like color selections, stuff like that, you know, feel free to reach out.
Awesome. And I wanted to give you a chance too to shout out again where folks can find Jigmasters and also anything else that you wanted to shout out. So.
Yeah. So, you know, the shop and stuff, that's simply just jigmasters.com. Then the Instagram is at Jigmasters, and then the Facebook page is at Jigmasters Tackle. You know, but typically the easiest places to reach me is just via email or via like DM on Instagram.
Awesome. Well, Cody, thanks again, man. It's been a pleasure. That was Jig 101. So, I'm going to give it a try again. And, hopefully the next time I have you on, I'll be like, check out all these jig fish that I've been catching. It's amazing. I'm a convert.
Yeah. maybe we'll get the Jig 201 and really start dialing in some techniques.
There you go. Because there are some things that I didn't talk about that I know I wanted to. And I know we talked a little bit about heavy wire versus light wire, but we can cover that in Jig 201. So
sounds good.
Yeah. Do your homework, everyone. And, you know, until next time. All right, Cody. Well, thanks again. Everyone, thanks for tuning in. Be sure to check out jigmasters.com. Again, thanks, Cody, for being a great supporter of Paddle and Fin. You're kind of, you know, one of our longest standing sponsors. And I can't thank you enough for that, man. The support's been great. And, you know, so guys, definitely go and check out jigmasters.com. I'll make sure I include a bunch of links in the show notes so you can find that real easy. But again, guys, thanks for tuning in. This has been the Bass Fishing for Noobs segment on the Paddle and Fin podcast, where we bring you the tricks, the techniques, the tricks, and the tips to help you rip more lips. You guys have a good night. Thanks, Cody.
Thanks.
Thanks for tuning in to another killer episode here on Paddle and Fin. Be sure to drop a 5-star rating, a thumbs up, or smash that subscribe button on any platform you're listening in on. Be sure to check us out on Waypoint TV, waypointtv.com. Make sure you sign up for the Fantasy Kayak Fishing League at paddleandfin.com/fantasy. You could support this show through Patreon, patreon.com/paddleandfin. Don't forget to check out the website, paddleandfin.com. Catch us on YouTube. If you got a question, comment, or want to see a future guest on the show, be sure to email us at paddleandfin@gmail.com. Shout out to our show supporters, Yak Gadget. You can check out all the fine kayak accessories at yakgadget.com. Pelican Professional. For all your cases, coolers, and lighting needs, go to pelican.com. Rocktown Adventures, your Midwest premier paddle sports destination, go to rocktownadventures.com. Eastport Marina, the beautiful destination on Dale Hollow Lake. If you're looking for lodging, kayaks, kayak accessories, or anything fishing related on the beautiful Dale Hollow Lake, go to eastport.info. and Jigmasters jigs. When in doubt, get the jig out. Go to jigmasters.com and fill your tackle boxes today.